Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Tree of Worlds, I am proud to bring you Astrid. Today we'll be discussing astral travel. Greetings, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. Doing well. And I would just like to make a comment before we get into active speaking here. Quite a few people are remarking that there's a thinning of the veil, that they're having communications with past loved ones and just experiences they really can't put their finger on. But I have to say, it is Samhain approaching. Mm-hmm. And this is a time, you know, people know about the wheel, the pagan wheel, and I like to think of it as our ancients and all the things that they have done during the years based on different things related to their living with agriculture, but also the stars and the planets, whether they're fixed or if they're in a different location or retrograde. And this is a time in many cultures right now, within the next 5 days or so, where there is a reverence. It's the last harvest before the long winter and before the light returns and at the solstice. And there's this reverence and honoring the ancestors. And it goes both ways. So we have, you know, the Day of the Dead. We have different religions and different beliefs, whereas take a moment to remember all those who have passed before us, just as they did way back when they would settle in for the winter, and it was a time of reflection, looking in, more spiritual rather than external, internal. And I really think that it's a calendar thing, a memory thing, even within our DNA, that there's certain times and aspects within the year when we do have better communication and we are more introspective and we start traveling in ways that we normally don't and communicating in ways we normally don't.
That's very true.
Right. And I think before we get into talking about astral travel, let's bring it down a couple levels to the point of things that we can't explain and that are unusual while we're in our bodies. You know, those unexplained moments, the ones when we're in a waking state. Now, have you ever thought of someone and suddenly they call or you bump into them and say, wow, I was just thinking of you? Not a coincidence.
Synchronicity, meaningful coincidences, yes.
Right. What about the phone ringing? And you know who it is before you even pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's that conscious intention to visit or talk to someone. And they ask you, like maybe a day or two later, whatever, and say, "If I had a really weird experience, I felt like you were here." And these are commonplace occurrences. These are things I think everybody has had happen to them. And they just think, well, you know, they just kind of dismiss it. But there is so much going on in terms of these two words, time and space, that we do not know. And if that's the case in our waking moments, how could it not be, you know, in our sleeping moments, you know, that twilight before you do go to sleep, or even the dream? The dreams that we do have, how do we know if it's just something that our body in rest, our mind is just sort of like floating along and picking up different aspects of the day or things that are worrisome, and we work it out during sleep? Or are we really going places?
That's a good question. I work with my dreams. I can't say I remember my dreams every day, but I remember my dreams on most days. And I can't say I write down my dreams every day, but I do on most days. And I can't say I work with my dreams every day, but I do on most days. So,
well, right. And there are, you know, the unintentional dreams, things that just come along where you're working out things that are your anxieties, your fears, your wishes, your dreams. And then there are the intentional ones, you know, and the unintentional ones where things happen. Or I'm not sure with you, like when you're dreaming, do you have different types of dreams, even in terms of the way they look?
Yes. I consider dreams to take place in the astral realm. So it's like an astral activity.
In
Greek, astral means starry. And there's a whole bunch of stuff I could spend an hour talking of connected with that. But basically, it's our internal universe, but it corresponds to the external world as well. I have different types of dreams. I have dreams where I'm an observer. I have dreams where I'm a participant. I have dreams where I'm myself. I have dreams when I'm not myself, I'm somebody else. I have dreams
exactly.
that in this world. I have dreams where I'm doing, I have jobs and I'm with people and I'm living in cities that I don't live in the waking world. So it's a mixed bag. It's an adventure always. And it's
always, right. And it's amazing. And then there's something called lucid dreaming, and there's different aspects of dreaming. Lucid dreaming is a type of dream, whereas the dreamer is aware they're dreaming. It is like you're the director. You're the director of this movie that's going on. That's probably the best analogy.
Right.
And sometimes you have control over it. You're actually speaking while it's occurring. Like you're thinking and you're observing and you're saying, wow, you know, I don't remember this aspect, or look, so-and-so is here and, you know, I know that place, and you're making comments. It's like you have a script, but you're changing the script, or you're writing little notes on your observations.
Right.
Lucid dreaming is just amazing. And, you know, I think they said something that there's a number, there have been studies on lucid dreaming, because
there
was a time, people thought, well, like the earth is this and the earth looks like that. And then even now we're still finding new galaxies, new planets, the new things, because we discover new tools and different ways of looking at things, whether it be Hubble in one instance, or something else, you know, other things. And that's the big thing, the tools you use in order to do things. Most, there are some people, it automatically happens to them. And it starts to occur often. And they just say, oh, wow, I need to see what's going on here. And they'll do a little research and they'll find out it's an aspect of either lucid dreaming or astral travel.
Right.
And then there are those that want to do it, but they have to get themselves first. Very first thing, get rid of fear aside. Yes, it's unknown. You don't think of, well, what are all the horrible things that can happen to me? In the physical world that we live in, with the physical body, there are more things that can happen. Actual physical harm. When you're leaving your body behind and you're doing it on an unconscious, you know, a different level, just with your entity of you, your spirit, whatever your soul, whatever you want to call it, and you're not bound by the physical boundaries, you can roll yourself back. You can wake yourself up, or you can bring yourself back from where you are. It is not like the science fiction films that we saw where you're just trapped in a portal and you can't get back. You know, you control it. You can control the intensity as you become more and more experienced. You can control different aspects of it. Or you can, you know, basically the main thing is not to have fear. And isn't that always the thing if we're learning to drive a car or anything? You know, video games, you have to slow it down, take it step by step, and just question things, you know, before you go on, you know, to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had surveys that show that 55% of adults have experienced lucid dreaming at least once in their lifetime. And we don't distinguish between being asleep or awake. Now, do you do it often?
If I find that if you monitor your dreams, you'll find that every day there are periods of lucidity, which you feel, and you can become fully lucid or you wake up. But the lucidity is there several times a night. After a while, you get good at spotting it. And later on in our conversation, I'll share what I do and you can share what you do with lucid dreams and astral travel.
Well, you know, it also depends on at what point of sleep that it's happening. Is it in REM sleep? There's all the different studies are saying, well, there's more brain activity when there's lucid dreaming. And then there are times when you're doing a lot of lucid dreaming, which means you're really not getting a lot of rest. Now, can you control it? That's a good question. You know, is it something going on within the universe with all that electrical activity that causes you to do it? Or as we say, now people are starting to feel their ancestors and they're totally, most people are totally unaware of what's going on at this point with Samhain or, you know, the Day of the Dead, all these different things going on. And they're saying, why is it always this time of the year? I'm having very vivid dreams, if you want to call them that, or visits from people that have passed on, my ancestors. And I had a few people say that to me today, and it was very coincidental. As we say, coincidental? I think not. But within the fellowship, a few people saying, wow, you know, I just really feel the presence of my father. Someone else was saying I had this unbelievable amount of dreams, and they did not feel like dreams. And I was told to write, and I wrote about something in your life. I was told it was about your lifetime. It was amazing. It was quite a few situations like that.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, there are times I think there are patterns when it's conducive to all at a specific time, whatever may be happening out there in the universe, you know?
Yeah, that is very true. I've also had lots of dreams in the past couple of nights, and they were extremely vivid, and I was busy writing them down when I woke up. I had a lucid dream the other day that I actually sustained for a while. As you say, sometimes when you do astral travel or lucid dreaming, and sometimes it is hard to tell what you're doing, especially if it's during the dream state. But there was an ancient book made of parchment and leather, and it was in another dimension, and I was reading it. And it's difficult to describe how I experienced the fact that it was in a different dimension, but I wasn't in the same dimension as the book. So I was reading the book. And then while I was reading the book, I discovered that I was dreaming because of the tests that I do to test my reality all the time. And then I realized that when I'm lucid, I can do whatever I want, but I really wanted to read the book. So I stayed there in that lucid reality, knowing that it was a dream, and just continued to read the book for as long as I could. And then I drifted off into another dream and lost lucidity.
And then there are those that can consciously astral travel without being in sleep. Most often I would say that people are doing it in their sleep, whereas they're going to places, and some are even continual. And by that I mean that you start to dream and you say, oh, I know that place. It's not a place that I live in at this point in this space, but I know that place. And then you have the characters moving about and, you know, the scenery and the landscape, and you recognize yourself there. But when I say self, I mean self in caps. Of that it is your entity, your energy, but it doesn't look like you.
Right.
And you have them continuing. It's like they're chapter dreams. They're usually in color, and an intense color as well. And it's just amazing because it starts and you're like, oh, yes, I know this. It's like a series. I know this series, but it's actually dimensional, because it's another point where you can go back and forth and exist in time and space.
And that's an amazing thing when you realize that not only can you travel through space, but also through time. And
exactly.
That's when you start asking yourself some really interesting questions. The reality of these places are just as real as our physical world, too, in that we're in a 3D sensory type of world. And some of these states are more vivid. They make this reality that we call waking reality seem muddy by comparison because they're so, you know, bright and vivid and
Exactly. It's like comparing it to the televisions, how outdated they get within a year. Another one comes along. You thought your TV screen was just great. You know, the focus, the picture stunning, and all of a sudden, the new one that you have, you're like, my gosh, I cannot believe how sharp this is, how the color tones in it are just amazing. And then you think back, well, those of us that can, to when color TV started and what it is now.
Yes.
I mean, it's a whole nother world. It's light years. And at that point, you couldn't even conceive of color TV. Wow.
I remember the black and white TVs. And it's true, the technology evolves. Like my camera microphone that I have on top of my computer, we started doing our Zoom shows recently. And everyone else had newer ones than I had. And you could tell by the clarity of the picture. And I felt mine was fine. But compared to the other images that were coming in, it looked muddy and blurry. And so I have to get a new camera now for my computer. But yeah, you're right. The technology blows your mind. And even with video games, remember when Pong came out? That was like a technological marvel. And now it's just nothing. You know, now they have like, you could be moving in a movie in the video game. So yeah, our technology's evolved a lot. And often what was amazing is no longer as amazing.
Right. There's a site called fizz.org, and it gets into technology, chemistry, astronomy, space, physics, nanotechnology, all the sciences. And they say that a universe has 10 dimensions, and this is what they can see at this point. And when you mention different dimensions, usually people think of parallel universes, alternative realities that is next to ours, where things work or happen differently, we look differently, whatever. But scientifically, when they say that, they're looking at different facets of what we perceive to be reality. You know, we know the ones that are the length, the width, and depth of objects. We know those three visible dimensions. But scientists feel there are really more. And, of course, you know, we know one, of course, is time. The fourth dimension they feel is time, governing the properties of every matter, everything at a given point. So even in terms of positions where things are, another one, I think it's a sixth one, it's a plane of possible worlds where we can compare and position all the possible universes, like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seventh, you have access to all the possible worlds that start with different initial conditions. And then the ninth dimension, it's comparing all possible universal histories with the different possible laws of physics and initial conditions. And then it's just amazing. So they're saying that now. And this is a time when, you know, they only would think of one thing. And you hear scientists talking about all of these things being not hogwash, not, you know, something like on a spiritual level, but actual reality. It's amazing. And it goes back to Carl Sagan. You know, we're all stardust.
Yes.
All energy and matter just being reassembled. And it's not just a matter of, you know, just entering and leaving once the physical physical vessel leaves, because now you're getting into past lives and future lives and your energy that assumes another form. Well, we can do the same thing when we have the vessel. Why couldn't we leave the vessel behind, the physical limitations, and start just working with time and space and energy and atoms? We don't have to worry like Star Trek about that portal, that time machine that scrambles your atoms.
No, we don't. And with astral work, like for instance, you talk about Star Trek. There's a lot of Star Trek. The worlds of Star Trek are very real to people who are in the fandom, and a lot of people can tap into them through books, through the TV shows, through video games, through fan activities. So it's like a whole universe has been created for that. And even if you're interested just in that, how the astral works is exemplified in that daily through whatever you happen to do. Because it's the same with all created places like Olympus and Asgard or heaven. They arise from our yearnings and from places on other realms. And then our imagination either collectively or individually builds upon it, become real. And they could be visited in fantasy. They could be visited in dream. They can be recreated through ritual. And you can go play there, you know, whether it's on a mundane level through a video game or by writing stories or by doing journeying with other people. So it's an amazing, amazing thing.
Most definitely. And then we know there are so many memories compressed within our DNA that we're totally unaware of. And, most people just make light of it or they don't pay attention to it. And then it also depends on the intensity of it. Some of us are more sensitive to it than others in the sense that, whether it be our energy level, we're more in tune to the, more sensitive to the energies. And I remember even, something as simple as sensory integration dysfunction, which is considered, problematic. Well, not really. And sensory integration dysfunction is when a person has heightened sensitivity to one of the five senses.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be sense of touch, sense of taste, hearing, where they can hear, and that's how all these different stories came about. Whether Marvel comics or this or that, it's having a heightened sensitivity in an area. And why could it not be that you could use it, and it's just an aspect maybe of a former life, something within you. Again, it's the energy that's been around since the beginning of time. And it just, why doesn't it accumulate and just deposit itself in your DNA, depending on what form you're in that particular lifetime? Most definitely. Most definitely. But going back to the dreams, I could remember being very young, and I think I mentioned this once before to you. I was about 14, and I was doing astral projection at will, and usually it has to be a situation where there are no distractions, physical distractions, and basically just zoning out, looking outside, and just would send myself to different places and then come back. All of a sudden it would be like, whoa, like what happened? And you knew it wasn't a dream because you actually left your body behind. You could actually feel yourself leaving the body. But that was just at will. Again, it's like if you're going to do something like astral traveling and you want to intentionally do it, first you have to get rid of the fears and get yourself to a point where there are no distractions, and we do this even with meditation, where we're in almost like an induced coma. You leave your body behind, you're breathing, just the act of the breathing and dismissing the physical sense and allowing yourself to travel. And when we would do it with you, with guidance, it was amazing how we would go. Most of us would have very similar situations.
Yes.
Where we would go or what we saw. And same with Linda, with the Amber Dragon. We did guided meditations. some people would have extremely intense ones. And again, it comes down to being not being distracted, not being afraid, because fear will hold you back, you know, and getting the chatter out of your head. It's another thing, and that takes time. And for some people, it's harder than others. And just like letting yourself go, getting deeper and deeper into it, and eventually you could do it all by yourself. There's many people that can do it by themselves after a while. But it has to be a situation where you're not distracted.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And a lot of the things you do in astral projection, you don't need to do them. Like, for instance, when I first learned astral projection back in the 70s, before then, I'd done it without knowing what it was. And then when I discovered that it had a name, I read what was available at the time. And back then, you had to, like, make yourself very still and then, like, numb your body, you know, through meditation and then raise above your body. And you had to make sure you had a silver cord there. And there was all this stuff. And, you know, by the time I became, I guess, in my early 20s, I had learned that all you need to do is think of a place to be and you're there. So you don't need to go through all that stuff. And as you said, as long as you're not afraid, you're not going to, if you're afraid, you're going to get the fear that, oh, I won't be able to get back in my body and I might die, or something negative is going to take over my body. You know, you get all that thing. And then if you can't sense the silver cord, oh no, you know, and again, those are unnecessary. You don't need that, but it'll hold you back.
Definitely. Definitely. And I can remember that the first experience, the out-of-body experience is amazing. And that is when it just happens by itself.
Yeah.
And it's just like unbelievable. You're awake. You're awake and you're just traveling. Just traveling. And I've had one or two of those where, and again, they've studied it. And call it neuroscience, you know, out of the body experiences doing awake craniotomy, something like that. But I thought that was interesting. It's OBE. And they say it's a rare phenomenon because you're being located outside of the physical boundary of the body. And usually you're above. You're perceiving the world from an elevated situation. And they're saying that it basically, it's self-consciousness. It involves abnormal forms of self-location and visual spatial perspective. And they've done all kinds of investigations with that in parapsychology, neurology, cognitive neuroscience. And it's sometimes they say it arises from the conflict between sensory signals, body, and the environment are oriented. But the experience I had with that, which was in 2007, or something like that. And I went to visit someone, and this woman it was just on a whim. A friend said, oh, why don't you come see this woman? Her name is Akia, and she's a seer. I didn't know what a seer was. I'm like, no, I don't know what this is, but yeah, I'll do it. And when I went there, I walked in the room, all of a sudden, it was as if I was having a lucid dream, but it wasn't. It was an out-of-body experience. And by that, I mean I was out of my body watching the event happen, and I knew everything we were both going to say to each other. And when I walked in the room, what triggered it is I knew the room, and I knew this particular frame. It was like watching a film. I'm saying, wait a minute, I know this room. And that triggered a series of events where all of a sudden I now was up by the ceiling watching this happen. I couldn't stop anything in terms of like what she was saying and what I was saying, but I knew what was going to come out. You know, I knew what I was going to say. I knew what she was going to say. And I'm watching it while it's happening completely, you know, not planned, but that's why I say there has to be something within our own selves our DNA, compressed memories, too, of where we've seen these situations before. You know, whether it was the past or the future, looking back, I was totally amazed.
It is amazing. I had several childhood experiences that were formative, and they took place in altered states of consciousness. And I guess back when I was in my late 30s, early 40s, maybe, I had done a lot of internal work, and I got to a place where I was doing something like astral travel, but I was exploring blockages in my own aura. And I was able to re-enter past events and look at a younger me and talk to a younger me. So initially I thought, this was psychological. But then I realized after doing that for a while that the future me had touched past with the past me. And those were the memories that I had. So I appeared to myself as Hercules. So the Hercules that I was communicating with as a kid and the Thor that I was communicating as a kid were future aspects of me. And I didn't realize it until after I did those exercises to go back to try to clear myself of trauma. But when I was a young kid, and I shared the stories before this happened as what happened to me as a kid, I thought it was different individuals, mythical people, coming and intervening in my young life. And that's what I grew up in, that's what I believed. Then I discovered that it was me. And since that time, I've met other people who've had the same experience where they were their teachers, their future selves were their teachers of their past selves. And now I wonder how many of the teachers I have now are actual future versions of me.
Well, that's when we know that time and space are distorted.
Right.
And we carry all this information within us, irregardless of what form we have or what time it is and what space we're in. I find that amazing. And I would very often in meditations go off on my own because you reach that pinnacle where you can.
Mm-hmm.
And do that. Like you said, it's something happening, and then there's like, side by side, you're seeing the past and the future.
Yes.
Which is unbelievable. I think it may have even been with you where I met, yes, it was, because it was with Carol. Carol was there and she knew. Where I was the first time, like I said once previously when we were discussing something else, in my Nordic lifetime, and it was always the same event. I never saw much more. I only saw certain aspects of that lifetime, and I would hear the water. It was so real, and I knew what I was wearing, and I could see out. It was like white on white, cold, ice, foggy. And for the first time, I saw land, and it was clear. And Carol picked up on it. She said, "You saw land, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, but that wasn't the most amazing thing. The amazing thing was the rituals that happened within the dream and the landing and the rituals of ancient Viking life, of what was done and how you took something from the boat from your home in Norway and you put it on that earth and you traded. You took something from that earth and brought it onto your boat, and you did not go on the land. Yeah, you slept, then you went out the next day, and using the sword and raising it, and the bent knee, you're looking at your warriors and travelers, and the bent knee, and you're looking, and I was looking beyond, and felt a violet energy, and heard these voices saying that we've always been here, and we've always traveled with you, and one day you will return home. But meanwhile, I'm in the present, and I'm looking over my warriors and at this sacred rite we're doing, but I'm finding out that there's something else going on and has gone on in my life. And then I realized that there are multiple lives. It was the first time I was aware of other lifetimes, was in that lifetime. And then I look to the side, and I see my funeral pyre And I realize that's the future. So again, present, past, future, all in one time.
Yes.
Within one meditation. And I'm like, whoa.
I remember that. I remember when you shared that.
Yeah. That was very intense. And then occasionally there are situations where we will actually go back and relive, not that time, actually live that moment again.
Yes.
So you're not remembering it. You are living it again. You feel everything. You see everything. You are that moment. And I've had that happen maybe once or twice, but a few weeks ago, I had experienced a traveling meditation. It was guided, minimal guiding, hardly any words, music, and it involved using a specific stone, an energy from the stone called the Miriam Jasper, and it's compressed DNA. It's all fossils from way back when in the Himalayas, when they shifted and formed. And this rock is made from all of these different fossils, plant life, animal life, leaves. Amazing. And I relived moments. I actually went back to a moment in one lifetime. And then all of a sudden, my falcon guide brought me, as it's done in other meditations, to another spot. But then all of a sudden, I'm walking in my Celtic lifetime. Along this path, I see myself, but I feel myself. It's not just seeing it as in lucid dreaming. I'm actually doing it. And I look up and I see a falcon. So it was this transfer of one lifetime to the next one. And then I see the falcon go up to this castle and land on this man's arm. And I sensed that that was important, but I didn't know why. Really wild. And it was a matter of, again, as we say, time and space. It's just amazing. There are no limitations. I was wanted. I'm thinking, am I going to another lifetime after this? This was another lifetime I saw. And at that point, I saw my garden, my meditation garden. And that is going to be where my ashes will be. But then all of a sudden, I saw the falcon there. And I realized that this falcon that I'm supposed to make out of wood, because I was a sculpture major, that's the next falcon. So all of a sudden I realized the importance of why I am supposed to make my return back to sculpture a falcon.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa. Yeah, whoa. You're talking multiple lifetimes, but then I returned back to my lifetime now, living in within my body now, but I existed in those bodies as well in the meditation. So it was really quite amazing. And I think we never considered Yeah, it's like you never can fully comprehend to what depths you can go, whether it be in meditation, lucid dreaming, astral traveling. It's amazing.
It is, and it's I've spoken of this before, but one of the myths that our culture has that it doesn't really think about is the Tower of Babel. And that comes into play whenever you study something because different people call things by different names. So you think you're studying one thing when if you leave your mind open, you're actually learning a lot. And if you keep your mind open to other ways of looking at things, you'll often find a door that leads to somewhere that you know under a different name. And so it is with astral travel. Even though they're slightly different in how they're perceived, like journeying, guided visualization, astral projection, lucid dreaming, these
right.
are all forms of the same type of activity. Each variation is like a slight shift on a spectrum, but they're all related to each other. So whatever you're doing, if you practice that and study, it'll eventually take you to all the rest.
Right. And there are some sites, I was doing some research to see, what they're doing in terms of but studying it and how people that have wanted to do it and are not capable of doing it, well, they're not allowing themselves to do it. How is it done? And it was interesting because a lot of the different things says that a lot of your, like, lucid dreams and different things, it comes from wish fulfillment, overcoming fears, and healing. But that's when you're aware of your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you're doing it spontaneously? That's different. And the last 20 years, there's a psychophysiologist, Dr. Stephen LaBerge. He's a pioneer of lucid dreaming research. And he's had led so many studies, as well as helping researchers discover that there's therapeutic benefits from it, particularly for PTSD, recurring nightmares, anxieties, and just resolution. And I'm sure if people even looked into it, it would be resolution of other lifetimes that they either know or they don't know or they're not aware of it. Because not everybody's aware of past lives on a conscious level.
Right.
But it's all encoded. It's all encoded. And there's a site, www.gaia.com, that has videos on all aspects of astral travel.
Oh, very cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a fee, you know, there's different fees. But it was very well done. I could see that it was very well done. And another one was bigthink.com that talks about dimensions of time and gets into those aspects, you know. And it's just interesting to see how science is dealing with it. www.healthline.com, you know, which is interesting. They start talking about the brain during lucid dreaming, how it is a different activity than regular dreams. And, you know, it talked about inconsistencies and distortions, how you can change the reality of the dreams. Unbelievable. Really, really interesting. So there are quite a few sites. There's www.bustle.com that gets into all the different aspects of lucid dreaming and, you know, how it occurs during REM sleep and how the dreamer may have some control while they're watching it, whether it be the characters, the narrative,
mm-hmm.
or the environment, the way it looks. And another good one is www.sleepfoundation.org. And they get into this whole big thing about lucid dreams and the different activities in the brain and being aware. And so, I mean, at a time when people would just see there's something mystical, you're seeing now that there's a lot more science delving into it. There's a lot more research.
Right.
I always say everything is a balance. And I'm sure there'll be a time when, you know, like some of us that know about our past lives without doing past life regression, it just sort of something triggered the DNA to come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be a point in the future where people can actually do something to make recall. However they decide how it can be done, who knows, but that you can actually know about it and come to terms. And then you're talking about dealing with karma, you know, resolution. Well, how can we do this and that? How can we make things, how can we resolve this so it's not repeating itself in the next lifetime? So when you start looking at this, the possibilities are amazing. Just amazing.
That's true. And when the pandemic is over or has abated a little bit, the next cycle of classes I'm going to have at the Dragon are going to be very heavy with journeying and astral projection and dream work and things like that.
And that would be fantastic because I think there are a lot more people that are becoming more intuitive within themselves and a lot more, and it may just be because of the pandemic, Hercules. because the fact that everyone knew as reality changed. It changed. And all of a sudden people became more introspective, also less distracted by the external world. And people just became more in tune to other people, maybe more quiet in some aspects where the chatter, the outside chatter, the external forces did not interfere with them, that they could do some of these things. Because I would hear more and more people saying that I have a new way of looking at life. Or like my dreams are so spectacular. I've never dreamt like this before. So, and I would tend to think that it's due to these changes and within our waking world, you know, going around now, it just changes aspects within us where we become more in tune with ourselves and not so distracted. And also things that are happening out in the universe. You know, we talked last time about astrology and talking about the scientific aspects of locations of planets and the influences of planets on us. You know, whether it be the eclipses or the full moon or things like retrogrades. Well, there are other things, too. There's conjuncts, there's oppositions, there's transits. You know, so there are all these things that are energy that's occurring out there that has
Before I forget
an
to
effect.
Tell you, the Llewellyn Daily Planetary Guide?
Yes.
We'll be interviewing the person who puts that together in early 2022.
Ah, fantastic.
Isn't that awesome?
That is fantastic, Hercules, because as we mentioned the last time we spoke, it's just unbelievable how I would love to know when they start looking at these things and they come out with these things, not when they're doing it, and again, it's like the dream state, but afterwards. Now, how do they, you know, view what they've written after things happen, like the year later? Because it's prepared, they're looking at all the planets, they're doing this and that with the planets, and then all of a sudden, they're living it. And like I said, I will never forget with that election, and you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Not just this one, the other one that happened prior. All the things that was stated, and everything fell into place. Everything they said was just unbelievable. And this last election as well, talking about chaos and possibly not having any results for quite a while, and it was just unbelievable. And how it was just amazing. And they must be in awe afterwards too when these events take place. And saying, wow, you know, it's just an affirmation that there is so much truth to all this. And it all ties in together, you know, how all things work out in the universe and your energy and the concept of time and space. So that you will be working with them. I think that's fantastic. And that will be one I will definitely listen to. It'd be amazing to hear all the different aspects of that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, because you introduced me to that book. And in fact, I think that you gifted me that book a few times over the years.
I did.
For the year ahead. So, where to go? I'll invite you on the show when we're interviewing the person.
That would be fantastic. I would really appreciate that, because the first time I used that book, and basically I just said, oh, isn't this interesting? They have a weekly explanation of planets. I basically bought it just to have a actual hands-on document so I can write things down and, oh, I'll look at this. Well, I found myself using it more and more, and then it became my yearly Bible. And I would say to myself, why am I not looking at it for the week? Because the forces of energy were unbelievable. And as I would read it, and you're not, and it wouldn't be vague, they are specific in terms of what they're saying, the energy, how it could affect this, could affect that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always spot on, always. Even in terms of not just externally, but our internal energy. You know, there'll be feelings of anxiousness, there'll be this, there'll be that. And, you know, watch, keep your head down because of these situations where these planets are going to cause people to react this way. So it's best to be prepared to avoid severe confrontation. Spot on.
I remember when you read me what was written before about the situation you described. And again, it was uncanny how accurate that turned out to be.
Oh, unbelievable, unbelievable. And one particular friend had called me and was like just sobbing, saying, oh, it was a horrible situation. I can't understand with this chaotic, frenetic energy. And I said, oh, well, I guess you need to have a planetary guide. Sure enough. And sure enough. And it's just sometimes we're driven not just by our own personal history, but the energy that's out there. So it seems like it's a very good idea to harness what you can, like what's happening out there in the universe, that energy, and to, you know, as they say, go with the flow and be prepared.
Uh-huh.
Most definitely. And it's that even relates back to our topic, whether it be the lucid dreaming, out-of-body experiences, astral traveling. As it's happening, the main thing is to be the observer. To be the observer. And unless something very negative is being shown to you, then you can't alter it. You can. You can,
yes.
Just like in a very deep meditation, you can return. It's not a problem. It takes, when you're doing astral traveling, it takes time to return. You know, some people feel, even with meditation, when you get into a very deep meditative state, you can't just say, okay, it's time to go home now. No, you have to. I like the way you always bring us back where you're returning. And it's a slow process. And Linda does the same, but you do it in a really beautiful way. You really do. So, and not everyone returns at the same time, depending on the depth of their experience.
Very, very true. And each finds their own way. And sometimes, as you said, it's by accident, and sometimes it's through practice. But it's a whole dimension that's open to all of us. None of us are really stuck. We have
no
to travel anywhere and do anything.
Most definitely. And as we said, we think we've reached the pinnacle of whatever, like our lifetime, just as one will say, well, I'm at the point of, I can't go any further in my business or in my professional life. It is the same with this. You will be in awe when you're brought to another level. You know, it's whether it be past life situations or memories, repressed memories that just start coming out, even in terms of where you access them, and you start doing it in multiple dimensions, as you said, with the past, with the present, and you're watching it, and then the past and the future being shown to you at the same time. And it's just amazing. So when you think you've got to the point, well, wow, this was just unbelievable, there are always new experiences waiting there for you.
Very well spoken and very well said. And we're approaching the end of our conversation. Before we go, can you share like one of the most startling lucid dreams you've had?
Oh, wow. I had one last night. I had a hard time going to sleep last night in the sense that I could feel all this energy. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and then all of a sudden I felt a text was coming through. I don't have, like, loud notifications. And I said, I know who it is. I have to get it. And I did. And it was who I thought it was. It was a really dear friend of mine. But not only was it that communication, it was also on the energy level. I could feel his energy. But I had a dream state, the lucid dream, where, again, I was watching it, and it involved this place, and I know it exists somewhere. And there was this wall, and there were these statues. Unbelievable statues there. And it involved people from that are deceased that were in the dream. It also involved people that are alive. But I'm watching it from the director's point of view, yet I'm in it. And I woke up this morning, and obviously it was at a point that it was that intense, I was able to remember every aspect of it. Every aspect of it. And I've been carrying it with me all day today. So that was like, wow. You know, to see, to be in this situation with these people, go around to this courtyard where there were these statues, and two other characters were in another location, and something else was happening there. And I knew it, and I'm watching it. And again, as the director, I can change certain aspects, but I'm also doing the narrative. I'm like, wow,
right.
I'm watching this. This is happening, and that's going to happen. And look who showed up. Someone who passed away who I haven't thought of in quite a few years. And I thought there was resolution with this person, yet this person showed up. So then you're questioning whether that entity brought that and was visiting and caused that dream to happen. You don't, you know, you can overanalyze, too. I think you just have to kind of, just this is the experience, this is what happened, not overanalyze it. Like, why did that person show up in this dream? Whatever the reason is, and if there's a reason, you'll find out when it's meant for you to find out. If there's a message or the person just wanted to visit you. It all comes, but not as we will it. It's as the universe sees fit. When we're ready.
It will happen. Astrid, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure speaking with you. I missed our getting together at least monthly at the Dragon. I'm looking forward to starting
most
again.
Definitely. I have to say to you that Mo said this, and Linda said the same thing. I miss the Hercules Avengers because they were unbelievable. No, of course, they love you as a person, but they said, nowhere do we ever journey like we as we do with Hercules.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to hear that, and I miss everybody so much. Is Irene back for good, or is she just here?
No, she is. She's back in Arkansas and resolution, and she's, you know, found her new space.
Okay, good.
In terms of within herself, and that's a good thing.
They just informed me we have 90 seconds. Astrid, you're awesome. I miss you, love you, and I can't wait to see you. And
I'm so glad that we didn't lose power because the rain has been horrific for the past hour.
Oh, we did for a few minutes on my end. I had to restore everything. So
that's when I was talking. I didn't hear you. I'll continue talking. There you go. Well, not here, which is quite unusual. I better keep my mouth shut and say, well, the universe is working in a good way, so it's not happening here.
Well, it did work out well. Be well, and thank you, and thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, called and you're in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Alas, there's no time for a song today, but thanks for joining us. And thank you, Astrid.
Take care. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.